Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, broadcasting live from the DeVore Heart and Lung broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies and the Cubs today, the finale of the three-game set. Nakobe Dean set to throw out the first pitch. This was the day last year, not the date, but the game. You threw out the first
HBCU
pitch.
HBCU day.
Yes.
Yeah, so I saw a lot of the sororities and fraternities around.
Band walk by
yesterday? Some of my sorors, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. So, yeah, Zetas are here. So, yeah, it's going to be a nice day.
Yeah, it's beautiful weather. It's going to be a fun day. Hopefully the Phillies win. We'll get to leading off coming up in a little bit. Lizardo on the mound today. They need a bounce back out of him. Though the Philadelphia Eagles, not trying to bounce back. They're trying to sustain this thing. Minicamp, OTAs, that's all in the books. Yesterday I had the mandatory minicamp. Perfect attendance. We know someone that was there. His name is Elliot Shureparks. He is brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the 50. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot, how you doing today?
Hello.
Man, I'm excited to talk to you guys. A little bit sad that, you know, it's now 6 long weeks until I get to watch the Eagles practice again. But it was an eventful day, so excited to talk to you guys about it.
So I'm curious, what were some of the things that stuck out to you? You know, it was a one-day mini camp or whatever. But how was the aura around the building?
It's great. I mean, you know, you look around the league at all the drama with other teams. The Bengals can't sign their first round pick. And really, I think if you want to look at it, like Terry McLaurin, not at camp. TJ Watt, not at camp. Hendrickson, not at camp. Micah Parsons, not at camp. The Eagles had full participation. And, you know, to go back to the Bengals thing, like, I think a great look at the difference between the culture in Philadelphia and the culture in Cincinnati is Jahad Campbell is currently injured, coming off of surgery, is unsigned, and was out there doing individual drills. Meanwhile, the Bengals' first-round pick is presumably healthy and not practicing because of a contract thing. So
he's trying to get his bread.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I think the Bengals are in the wrong. But the point I'm making is right now, coming off a Super Bowl, like, the Eagles are really clicking on all cylinders, and there's just not much drama at all, really, with the team going on.
Elliot, one thing I thought was notable, well, it's a couple things. One, perfect attendance, which is what you want to see, especially with just a one-day minicamp, but hopefully everyone could get there. They did. The second thing is just the way they're talking about approaching this season, because one thing, Elliot, that I'm not worried about, Hugh is a little bit, is the idea of a hangover off the Super Bowl. I think they are uniquely built to not have a hangover in terms of the people they have doing it to, you know, going to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, all the kids they've drafted from all these huge programs that are used to this, you know, Jalen Hurts' personality. They may not be as good just because of the schedule or they lost a lot of good players, but I don't worry about a hangover mentally, do you?
Yeah, I don't see how you couldn't. I mean, in 2022, they kind of burst onto the scene. Jalen has his career year. They make the Super Bowl. Granted, they lose it, which is a difference, but in 2023, they have an epic collapse. Apps Jay has a bad year. So I'm not saying that's what I'm predicting, but I think for anybody to think they know what's going to happen, I think is tough because we have seen this team only once come off of a successful season and they followed it up with one of the more disappointing seasons in franchise history. Obviously not in terms of wins, but just in terms of expectation versus what happened. So I think time will tell how this team deals with success. I agree. They are built with hard workers. AJ, Jalen, Saquon, Devontae, they all come from great programs. They're used to, you know, working all the time. So I understand your point, but I think you're also ignoring a little bit what happened in 2023, which, you know, Jalen gets voted the second best player in the NFL by his peers. And then I don't even think he was on the list the next year, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, I think time will tell how they handle it.
Elliot, what stood out to you from the actual on-the-field stuff yesterday? You know, who stood out and kind of who made a lasting impression on you as we go into this little time without the Eagles
hiatus,
for about 6 weeks? Hiatus for 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, so I would say the player that impressed me the most yesterday, but also the player that needed to impress his coaches and I think did yesterday, was Kelee Ringo. I think Kelee had an outstanding day of practice. There was three reps I can think of that really stood out. One was breaking up a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. It was a nice throw from Tanner McKee. He was covered. I believe it was Terrace Marshall that he was up against. He met the ball at the high point and knocked it away to prevent a touchdown. He prevented another touchdown in a similar tight play on the other corner of the end zone. But his best rep might have been one-on-one, seven-on-seven drill versus A.J. Brown, single coverage on the left sideline. When the ball was snapped, I don't know where Jalen was trying to go with it, but I certainly saw him look AJ's way thinking that would be an attractive option. But Kelee was right there with him, stride for stride, down the sideline. The ball wasn't even thrown. And what stands out about Kelee when you look at him compared to all the defenders, even the ones we know are going to be starters, is he is just a level of athlete no one else in the secondary is. He's bigger, he's faster, and he's stronger than everybody else that they have. So we will see if he ends up winning the job, but on days like yesterday, it's hard not to picture him winning the job.
Elliot Shore-Parks with us here talking about minicamp as the Eagles have that yesterday in the OTAs now and everything in the books. All right, Elliot, where do you come down on the three potentially available defensive veterans that have been big-time players in the NFL? One is a free agent, Jair Alexander. The other two, contract issues, Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. That one seems like it's going to end poorly for the team and him, you know, in terms of staying together. And then T.J. Watt looks like he might hold out here in Pittsburgh. If you had to rank the three in terms of likelihood the Eagles get involved, how would you rank them? And then do you think any are actually likely to land as Eagles?
So the ranking of most likely to least likely, I would say you would probably have to put Jair Alexander on top just because he is a free agent. So there's no draft compensation involved there, and his contract will be considerably lower than the other two. Then I would say Trey Hendrickson, and I think T.J. Watt is probably unlikely. The deal he's going to demand, Pittsburgh just signed Aaron Rodgers, which will be a disaster, to be clear, but it is a win now move. So, you know, trading Watt would be a weird decision to make. So, you know, and then in terms of what I would do, I think Trey Hendrickson would be the one. I'm high on Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt. I think Azeez Ojulari is going to be good, but none of them are proven. And Trey Hendrickson is, you know, I think led the league in sacks each of the last 2 years. He was third in total pressures last year. He's not somebody that I think is going to cost as much money as maybe he would have 2 months ago. He's in his 30s. You look at players of his caliber in their 30s, they just don't sign like $90 million deals. So I think Trey Hendrickson is possible for sure. But I would say overall, you know, Jair Alexander would be the most likely because he is a free agent.
You know what? I'm kind of curious, Elliot, because, you know, we know the main characters offensively who are going to be, you know, the guy, the standouts, if you will. Was there anybody offensively, yeah, like the running back or somebody that you looked at and be like, hey, this guy might get a little bit of a run?
So there was I thought the backup receivers ended up having a good kind of 3 day practice, obviously including the OTA practices we watched. Like Jahan Dotson, I think looks really good. Switched to number two, which I think is a way better number for him. But you just think about last year, you know, he gets traded from Washington to the Eagles right before the start. Yeah, it's a great number. It's my favorite number. I wish Jalen would have stayed in it, honestly. But regardless, like great number two on Jahan. But you think about last year when he got traded from Washington to Philadelphia. Like, I've obviously never been traded, you know, but I can only imagine, like, you have to move. You're on a new team. You're in a new city. You have to learn a new, you know, kind of how you want to go about your daily life. Like, so this year, he's just way more comfortable in just everything, the offense, the city, the team, the culture. And I think it shows when you watch him out on the field. He's catching everything thrown his way. Jalen's throwing it to him quite a bit. So I think Jahan's had a really good good few practices. And then the other two receivers would be Terrace Marshall and Danny Gray. Danny Gray, a third-round pick in 2022. Terrace Marshall, I believe, was a high second-round pick a few years ago. So both have draft pedigree. The Eagles need backups. Like, they really only have those top three and then not much else. So I thought the backup receivers stood out.
Elliot, let's end with this. The Chris Sims quarterback list came out yesterday. I think we last time we brought this kind of thing up with you was the PFF list. So he was number 5 on the PFF list a few weeks ago. Sims had him at number 10 and talked a little bit about, you know, decision-making, holding on to the football, some of the negatives. Obviously, a lot of the positives there, too, as he broke him down. What's your reaction to where Sims had him? And just overall, as we try to, like, place Jalen now in the NFL quarterback list after last year, how much do you think we should look at the regular season compared to just the final two games? Because I feel like that's where the plot is being lost. Like, I looked at Sims's list, Elliot, and I said, if that was the regular season, it's more than fair. I mean, it's a more than fair ranking based on what he was last year. You add in the postseason, and that's where it's like, really? He's behind Herbert. He's behind, you know, C.J. Stroud. It feels like how much weight we give to the final two games is really guiding everything about how we argue about these lists.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing I would say is, and this is not a popular opinion, but I'm going to defend Chris Sims here. I feel like he always gets ripped when it comes to Jalen, and he was ultimately wrong about Jalen. He didn't think he'd be as good as Jalen is, and he's admitted that. He now has him as the 10th best quarterback in the NFL, right? So I agree with you. I do think that, you know, if you were to look at just the regular season, that I think 10 is fair for Jalen. You could argue 2 or 3 spots lower. You could argue a spot or 2 higher, but I think 10 is fair. But we cannot say the postseason is the most important thing for all athletes. Like, let's use Joel here, right? Joel has been an unbelievable regular season player. But in the playoffs, he's not been as good. He's not had success. And so everybody in Philadelphia would tell you that matters more to them. So while, yes, Jalen didn't have an outstanding regular season, and there were definitely stretches where he struggled, and on all those things are true, the games that mattered more, he was not the 10th best quarterback in the NFL. He was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. So I would have Jalen second on my rankings. I think you could put him 5th or 6th, and, like, it's not crazy. I definitely think 10th is over punishing him for the regular season. And I do think it's, like, not giving enough credit to what he did in the biggest games.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I feel like it's too far that way, and then I think two is too far the other way, but 5 or 6 probably feels like the middle ground we all should be at. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. What's the what do you do now? Like, where's your brain?
Yeah, where's
the next
vacation?
6 weeks?
You going anywhere? What you got?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, I got a big trip planned. I'm going to Portugal, Wales, and Luxembourg in July. So excited for that. And look, outside of that, it's getting ready for training camp. I already have a list here of making sure I have a new soccer kit for each day of practice. I never duplicate kits in all the years I've done it. So got to make sure I have at least 20 new kits to get ready and, get in shape, get tan, and, get my notepad ready to track stats.
Get in shape and get tan.
Now, do you have the notebook ready, the sunglasses, or is that like the week before you get all that stuff ready to go?
So I did buy fresh notebooks yesterday, so I'll be good to go. I also just got a nice pair of sunglasses. I've been saving up for them for a while, so I'm excited for those. So, I'm good on those, too. It's mostly just getting my kits right.
I was going to ask you what kind, but you said you save up for them. I don't need those. I'm going to get them $2 glasses. From the gas station.
I was going to say, it's not a $40 coat, So, although I feel like we're on different ends of where we should be spending right now.
No,
so maybe
saying,
I'll start. To
I mean,
get
I live vicariously through you, L. You look, you dress great, man. You're a great dresser. Great dresser.
I appreciate it.
All right, Ellie, we appreciate it. Have a good day, and we'll talk soon.
All right, talk to you guys later.
There we go. Elliot Shore Parks there with his assessment. The Ringo thing is
interesting.
It's good news. I mean, that is a spot, Hugh, I feel like is it's just flying under the radar as a – I wouldn't even call it a weakness. It's just an unknown, right?
What
I don't know what Kelee Ringo is. But, frankly, the Eagles haven't put him on the field enough for us to know. And then I feel like I know what Adoree Jackson is. He's fine. I don't think if they put him on the field, he's going to ruin the season. But I also don't think he's going to be very good. Like, just he strikes me as a journeyman. He's just there. I would like to see Ringo win the job. That would excite, because that would mean he's ready, and maybe we have a building block with him and Quinyon and for years to come.
Because he's one of the young guys. He's one of the young cats, and he's somebody that we want to be able to depend on.
Yep.
And not only that, he's been in the system. He's been in the system enough, and you want guys that are you're comfortable with. And it feels like that he's taken enough reps that if he is ready to go, he's the more comfortable choice, because the other guys just got here, and you don't know that much about him. So yeah, hopefully he gets to take over the just starting job.
I'll also say the Dotson thing is intriguing and interesting, because I've been saying this for a few years. The Eagles have had remarkable health at wide receiver with Devontae and AJ. Right? Mm-hmm. I know AJ got banged up a little bit in the playoffs last year. He wasn't maybe running the way he used to, mm-hmm. but for the most part, those guys don't miss games. Like, they don't have. And we'll keep crossing our fingers, right, because they're great players. But AJ and Devontae, they don't miss –
they've been pretty durable.
Yeah, they don't miss 4, 5, 6 weeks at a time. But if they did, which, I mean, it's point every player gets banged up, right? Someone's got to catch the football. Someone's got to – Dotson, they traded for him last year. He's a former first-round pick. He's his contract year. It's a big – to me, it's a big deal if he can do more this year and be the guy.
Be more of a contributor.
Yeah, because it really doesn't feel like they have three receivers. It feels like at most times they just have the two big ones and the other guy's just there.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the thing. You want to have as many weapons as you possibly can ready to go just in case somebody does get hurt, because durability and availability has been a huge asset for the Eagles in their success that they had last year.
And it's been for years that those two receivers, I mean, they've gotten their money's worth. They've got a lot of games, a lot of snaps out of those guys. All right, the bat signal went up. Let's grab OG Wade. OG, how we doing today?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
OG, we're good. What are you feeling today?
I just want us to have a conversation, and I'm going to say something that y'all ain't going to disagree with.
Okay.
Now, I'm glad you just put up that point, both you and you, about the health of the receivers, right? Oh, they've been healthy for the most part, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that with all, because everybody's saying Jalen Hurts has a stacked roster, and this is why he should have done more with the passing game. Do you know that collectively – Goddard and Smitty and AJ played a total of 5 games on the field last year out of the 17. Five games.
Together, you're saying? Together?
Yes. Smitty missed 4 games. AJ missed 3. Dallas missed 7 or 10. You see what I'm saying? So that will affect where you're ranking. And yet, like Kyle talking about, oh, they're 29th ranked passing. Okay. And this is to Brian Dawkins as well. When you have your team, the guys that's supposed to be catching the ball in the offense consistently there, you can be more consistent like you was in the Super Bowl. But when these guys are in and out of the lineup and you don't even have them for only 5 games in a season, that's going to affect your passing game and numbers. You see what I'm saying?
I think that's fair. I mean, that's the reality of the NFL, right? Guys miss time. I mean, for Mahomes, Rashee Rice was out for the season.
Right, but we all have to keep – and when you're talking about Jalen, the one thing I hear a lot about Jalen is if you do this, if you do that. It's not – we're talking about what he did do. But what y'all do is y'all say, well, if you put another quarterback with – that's not – because now you're saying to me that other receivers miss games as well.
Right.
And that's fair, a fair statement. But there's a resolve to it. There's a reason why it happened. So I don't want to get too deep into that, but that's my point there on that. And I hear people talk about Bryce Harper, how great he is, a player. Okay, and the Phillies only losing or not winning the championship is because they don't have enough players. So with Jalen, he has the players that he needs, and that's why he wins. So how is it a plus or not a minus for Bryce Harper, but it's a minus for Jalen because he has weapons?
So a couple things. One, Harper's been better as an individual in his sport. He's got 2 MVPs. Jalen Hurts doesn't have an MVP. Like, he's not been as good of a player individually. Now, the team, the Phillies are not as good as the Eagles. They don't have as many good players around Harper as the Eagles have around Jalen. I mean, we're complaining about the team every day. They don't have a lot of great players here.
And that's my point. You see what I'm saying? But I'm saying that's why they saying the Phillies don't win is because they don't have the players. So my point is we're criticizing Gillen for having the players and win because you said that the only reason why you got Jalen Hurts is getting is being overrated is because of the ring. Well, why are you rating Patrick Mahomes as the number one quarterback? Because of his rings, correct?
Well, because he's been a brilliant player for his eight
years. But it's because of his rings, correct?
He's been to five Super Bowls.
I
understand that, Joe. What you're saying.
I guess the difference is, OG, I'll go back to something I said last year. Patrick Mahomes is the driving force of the from the minute he got under center.
Multiple MVPs.
OG, a little bit. The reason why I feel, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is that Patrick Mahomes, the mystique that was surrounding Patrick Mahomes when he came to the league, Andy Reid traded up for Patrick Mahomes, right, when they already had a pretty good quarterback. And when they got him, a lot of people felt like, you know, they reached for him. Because he wasn't a great quarterback in college. And then when he came into the league, he started making sidearm throws, some of the phenomenal throws that he was making.
50 touchdowns.
Yeah, and so that was the mystique. And I think, to your point, there's a little bit of a stigma on Jalen because he's a lower-round draft pick. Not that low. He's a second-round draft pick. But it's people are enamored by the number one picks and some of the stuff that they do. So there's a little bit of that to it as well.
I just think, OG, we appreciate it. I just think it's just simple for me. Sunday to Sunday, some quarterbacks seem to dominate more than others. That hasn't been Jalen. I mean,
And nobody's doing themselves any favors by comparing Jalen to Montana and Mahomes. Like, can we stop doing that? We can.
I thought we would, but we are going there.
No, because they had talent around them, and that is the gist of our argument. Because I look at it like this, Kyle. When you tell me that, and never mind, forget it. We'll talk about it tomorrow.
don't want this smoke, buddy.
Hey, no. Kyle, we're going to do this all summer, so don't even worry about it.
All right, anyway. Coming up, we'll yell about the Phillies leading off, except for the Phillies and Cubs. This one, I'm going to tell you why today is a huge day for Dave Dombrowski. That's coming up, leading off. We're live from the DeBoer Heart and Lung Center broadcast booth at Citizens Bank Park on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Winning on the field starts with how you recover off the field. And nobody helps you bounce back like my team at the Mattress Warehouse. You celebrate the 4th of July this year with big savings at Mattress Warehouse, up to $1,200 warehouse-wide. Right now, you can save hot $500 on Tempur-Pedic's best-selling Breeze mattresses designed to fill up to 10 degrees cooler all night, every night. Now, that's pretty cool to have in a bed because, you know, I don't know about y'all, but I like sleeping on a cool mattress because it just feels so much better. And right now, Mattress Warehouse has mattresses for everybody and every budget with 40 different models under $799. So if you're one of those individuals that don't like to spend like a whole lot of money like I am, that's a great deal for you. Do what I did. Come in today and sleep better tonight during the Mattress Warehouse 4th of July sale. Shop their entire selection and find a location near you at mattresswarehouse.com, mattresswarehouse.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm CBS News Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett, and you're invited to The Takeout, no reservations required. Every weeknight, our podcast serves up a balanced menu of politics, policy, and pop culture. The day's happenings with curiosity, informality, and humor. Serious discussion, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. Follow and listen to The Takeout with me, Major Garrett, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.